talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on.
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 Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on.
And welcome to another edition of My Shit Doesn't Work. So I played an extra long song to Elvis, a little less conversation, so I could figure out why my mic and my camera don't work. I have no idea. So there's my camera. Can't see my face. Love it. Just another day in the neighborhood. So I wanted to start with Gaza today because I know everybody's freaked out about that, and there's probably a million comments about it. It took me the better part of a day to get to the point where I could really see that clearly and think through that. Call that a dumpster fire, for lack of a better word. I will say this. Trump went out on stage. He shocked Netanyahu, and he shocked the American people. And because of the blowback on social media, this is why I've been saying this. Because of the blowback on social media, they had to walk back those statements today, and they had to put it in a different context in hopes that people would actually walk back from the ledge. And this underscores the power of social media that I've been talking about for months and months and months, and the power of alternative media. Because Trump's paying attention. Don't think for one nanosecond they're not paying attention. And when everybody freaked out yesterday, Trump was like, oh, we got to walk that one back. They're not going to sign up for that. And everybody had the right reaction. Why are we going to Gaza? We have no business being there. We're not going to put American troops on the ground. That's not going to be popular. You're not going to get any buy-in from the American people on that. And then Jared Kushner, somebody posted a short video of Jared Kushner talking about, that's great real estate. It's waterfront. Okay. Let me talk through the logistics of why this is a really, really bad idea. First of all, this is Netanyahu's wet fucking dream. We go in and clean up the mess that he created. I want to remind everybody that Israel created the open-air prison called Gaza. They created the conditions, they set the conditions, and they allowed Hamas to build all those tunnels, Hamas to bring in all those weapons, and October 7th to happen. And just because they got their asses handed to them on the battlefield doesn't mean we need to send in U.S. forces to go clear all those landmines, all those explosives, all that unexploded ordnance. That's Israel's problem. And I don't give two shits about any of them, to be perfectly honest. Israel's been in our backside for the better part of 80 years. It's time for them to stand up and learn self-reliance. And that's exactly what the American people said to Trump yesterday. This is not our fight. And we are not about to get in the middle of that and then occupy an open-air prison and then rebuild it. Why would we do that? And that's just the surface of this. And that's why people reacted. You know, people weren't thinking through the second and third order effects of how many Americans are going to lose their lives trying to clean that place out. It's an armed camp. And Jared Kushner's like, we could build waterfront properties. Imagine if Hamas would have invested all that money into hotels and into resorts. Okay, first of all, that's a lie, because the place was an open air prison. The Palestinians would go and they would build solar panels so they'd have, you know, electricity and hot water. And you know what the Israelis did? They would go in there and rip it down. Nobody was building a hotel in there. Nobody was building a resort in there. There was no vacationing in there. It was an open-air prison. Let's call it what it was. And Trump's saying, we're going to relocate all of these different Palestinians, you know, that weren't killed in the mass purge, you know, the genocide that they call genocide. The whole thing is, this is how you start a revolution with the stroke of a pen. Because Trump still doesn't get it. And I'll remind him right now. The American people are ready to revolt. All of them. We don't want to see any more corruption. We don't want to see any more politicians enriching themselves. We don't want to deal with any more COVID shots. We don't want to deal with big pharma. We want people like Anthony Fauci and Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, all the rest of them held to account. You can go and fuck around with Israel when you're done with your term. But right now, you work for us. And right now, we want you to stay on task, which is gut the federal government, hold people to account, and in the meantime, Israel can fuck off. Netanyahu can go back to his open-air fucking prison, and he can stay there and enjoy the mess that he created for himself. We are not going to fight on that soil. This isn't a Christian thing. This isn't a revelation thing. This is a Zionist thing. Get the fucking memo already. That's what America said to him yesterday. And he heard it, because they walked all that shit back today. And people are right to be pissed off, because that is a clear and blatant violation of the mandate that we sent him to D.C. to do. And look, he's doing good things in 10 days. It's shocking off. And the best part about all of it is he's doing everything within his presidential power so they can't lawfare him to death. Why do you think all the Democrats and all the elite that are losing money out of USAID are out on the streets talking about, we're not going to let him denigrate the Constitution and our democracy, because they can't do anything about it. They can't lawfare him. They can't take him to the Supreme Court. Why? Because it's executive powers. Hello? So just sit back and enjoy the meltdown, because the best part hasn't even gotten here yet. And the best part is, today he gave marching orders to the entire CIA, the entire organization. We'll pay you out for a year, but that's it. You get a year and then you're out, but you're out. Take your pick. Get paid for a year or get nothing. And see, the beauty of it is, in his first term, he did the right actions to set conditions for this. On Monday, I talked about he was building a kill box right now. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's taken away the funding from all of these nefarious organizations that was funneled through USAID. And look, the stuff that he's talking about now, you know, the gender identity stuff and the all of the different programs to teach, you know, Bedouin tribesmen about trans and gay, all that's nonsense. The real stuff, the real depth of the stuff is the biolabs, it's human trafficking, it's the NGOs that are down in Panama, and the money that's funneled to the UN through USAID that's used to traffic humans. That's the stuff that hasn't come out yet. And USAID was extensively used by the Central Intelligence Agency to conduct operations overseas, like government change, you know, regime change, assassinations, influencing operations on the population, propaganda on the populations. And today, Trump gave all of them their marching orders, or their walking orders, actually the walking papers. You just choose your adjectives there. That's fantastic. And he fired everybody on the seventh floor of the FBI. And he wants a list by name of the 5,000 FBI agents that were used for the January 6th arrest. They're all fired too. So I'll just say this to the CIA. One, it's about time. Two, you can eat a big bag of dicks, all of you. Go fuck yourselves. You're all a bunch of treasonous fucking whores, and you're miserable to work with. I hope you stay unemployed, you fucking treasonous fuckers. Okay, I got that in my system. And rightfully, after 20 years of dealing with those assholes, I felt pretty good. I'm not going to lie. That felt pretty good. And I hope that in Radcliffe's case, and I hope in Tulsi Gabbard's case, as well as in Kash Patel's case, that they go all the way to the fucking janitor. But this tells me that Trump's people are listening to me, because they're going all the way to the janitor at the CIA, which is exactly what I would have done. Walked in there. All right, I want a meeting with everybody. All right, what are we, 5 minutes in? Okay, here's the deal. You all suck. You're all mediocre. You're all going home. Go fuck yourselves. And leave your badges on the table. And you, with the guns, escort these assholes out of here. And then I'd look at the janitor and go, you're in charge. Do you have any idea what you're supposed to be doing? No, exactly. Go to work. It's exactly how it should go. And the beauty in all this, like I was saying on Monday, this is the part that people haven't quite grabbed yet, is Trump going after the funding sources first and using executive power to disband agencies that were responsible for all of the malfeasance during his first term. The second and third order effects of that are going to be glorious. So I heard, you know, last couple of days from like three different people, there's going to be a lot of chaos in the next 2 weeks. I go, yeah, I know. They're like, really? Oh, yeah, absolutely. The left, the elites, whatever you want to call them, they are all going to do a full court press until the money runs out. And then it'll be crickets again. You know why? Because they won't have money for BLM or Antifa or any of the rest of the malfeasance to be able to move those guys around the battlefield anymore. Trump took that all away from them. You take the money away, guess what? You're taking away all of their ability to pivot, move, to shoot, move, and communicate. And in the Army, we used to say, if you can't shoot, move, and communicate, you don't win the war, Jack. And that's exactly what's going on here. That's why it's glorious. Because Trump, in one stroke of a pen, ended their ability and took away all their ability to fund and do anything with any of the nefarious organizations. And he neutered the CIA, all the NGOs, every single senator that's sitting in there. Yeah, the intelligence agencies, they do have 11 ways from Sunday to fuck with you. But guess what? You take away their money, they can't do shit. Trump is a fucking genius. Genius. And I, to be honest with you, I didn't think that he could do it. Oh, fuck. Fuck that impeachment stuff. They can bring it. Bring the fucking rain. Because you know what's going to happen this time? People are going to get smoked in the streets because the American people are so sick of these people. Green is a perfect example of somebody so divorced from reality. It's like Ilhan Omar. You know where that bitch is going to go? She's going to Gitmo. And she's going to go to Gitmo in the next 6 months. I guarantee it. That woman has committed treason on so many different levels and openly calling for Trump's assassination. You know what that's called? That's called sedition. So she can say whatever she wants to say. Bring it. She's going to prison along with Green. Because you know what else is buried in USAID? All the lines, all the funding sources and the revenue streams that they've all created, that's all in USAID. You don't think Elon tapped into that? Come on. And the fact that he's getting into the CIA and he's going to go into the IRS. Oh, I can't wait to see what Trump does with the IRS. That's going to be glorious. Now, the one agency that Trump can't touch, the one agency that Trump needs to be able to influence and disband is the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. The CFPB is a very dangerous organization. It's completely outside of the government structure. The only thing Trump can do, and you can thank Kavanaugh and Justice Roberts for this, the only thing Trump can do with the CFPB is appoint a leader. But their budget, like the CIA's budget, is completely obfuscating. We have no idea how much money they get or what they do or who they work for. They need to be melted down as well. But I can tell you that Musk is going to go into the IRS at some point. Trump's already fired the 83,000 people that Biden hired. They're gone. They were gone on day three. So Trump's done some very, very good things. First of all, he took decisive action within the first 10 days. I'm telling you, stroke of genius, getting rid of USAID. Stroke of genius. Pulling us out of the UN Human Rights Commission. Stroke of genius. I just wait for him to defund the UN. And I'm waiting for us to pull out of the UN. Oh, that'd be fantastic. I'm like, awesome. But a word of caution for everyone. We don't know what Peter Thiel is doing in the background. And Palantir CEO or CTO said today, either today or yesterday, we're already at war with China. We need to mobilize and go after China. So they're already setting conditions to go after China. We're going to, let's face it, we're going to have to deal with China at some point. But I want to go back to COVID for a second so everybody understands how insidious USAID has been. So USAID funded all the biolabs. They funded all the gain-of-function research, which means that that quote-unquote virus, if it existed, I would contend to you that the vaccine research was transported from here, Fort Detrick, through Canada into China by a Harvard professor, and it was all done in China, so they had plausible deniability and some culpability for China. So I would say to you that this whole thing was manufactured so China would be implicated. China is not innocent. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is a huge amount of malfeasance that went on through USAID concerning vaccines, biologics, et cetera. And we all know, everybody that's listening to me already knows that those vaccines are toxic. And Trump's getting the memo. Trust me, every time he lifts up his head and says warp speed or COVID or vaccines, he gets absolutely obliterated in social media. Obliterated. I thought I could be toxic about it. Man, there's some people that got me, put me to shame. So my point of saying all this is, don't forget about the technocratic deep state that he's building right now. Because we can't take for granted that every move he's making is on the up and up, and that he's not creating his own technical state in the background. And I'm going to remain cynical of that until I'm proven otherwise. And I'm also going to remain cynical about his motives in Gaza. Because as far as I'm concerned, if one troop steps on the ground in Gaza or Israel to assume what Israel should have done in the first place and what Israel is responsible for, I will absolutely obliterate him in social media. Every time he even mentions Gaza, there's going to be a dozen hecklers talking about genocide in the background. We have no business being there whatsoever. And I've heard every concatenation of, well, he caught BB off guard. He wasn't expecting to say he was going to own Gaza. And if we own it, then we can influence it. And they can't go in there because then they'd have to abide by the things they say they want, but they don't want. Fuck you. It's all bullshit. We don't have any business being on the ground. That is a Middle Eastern Arab problem. That is not an American problem. We have gone over there and tried to keep the peace in that region for the better part of 100 years. And we have failed at that. So it's time for us to stop looking at Netanyahu and say, you go fucking fix it. You made this, you go fix it. And no, we're not giving you any more weapons. No, we're not going to attack Iran. No, we're not dropping bombs on anybody. No, we're not giving you bombs to drop on anybody. Go fuck yourself. That's what needs to happen. And it needs to be in that order. Because this whole thing with Canada, I think, is priceless. And if you saw my tweet about it, I can tell you how that conversation went. Mr. President, Justin Trudeau's on the line. Put him through. What the fuck do you want? Well, sir, we're going to implement a 25% tariff on your 25% tariff. No, you're not. Yes, we are. No, you're really not. And let me help you help me help you. First of all, you're going to implement real border security and you're going to stop the flow of fentanyl into this country. I don't care if you kill a billion Canadians, but you're going to stop it coming into our country. Otherwise, I'm going to release all the tapes I have of you with little kids. And then we'll see if you can actually stay in power for longer than a nanosecond. And then once I'm done doing that, I'm going to close the borders. I'm going to shut off everything that's going north and everything coming south, and I'll replace it through Russia, or I'll replace it through, you know, somewhere in South America. I don't need you. And if you fuck with me, I will drop bombs on Ottawa. And I can tell you what Trudeau said. Yes, sir. And Trump, don't fuck with me again. Now fuck off. It's very simple. Because he went from, we're going to play hardball, to we're going to put $1.9 billion worth of security on the border. Okay. I don't know if you've been through the Canadian border, but the border points are pretty secure. They have all kinds of detectors. They can even detect if you're carrying weapons into the country, which I wouldn't suggest. So I know how that conversation went. Trump's doing all the right things. And, you know, I have a hypothesis, which I think I'm, fuck it, I'll just share it. Here's my hypothesis. So when Epstein was arrested the first time, it was brushed under the carpet. All the high-powered lawyers from New York came down and did their whole song and dance. And then all the charges against Epstein went away because he was an intelligence asset. And then when Epstein, quote unquote, was arrested the second time and suicided himself in isolation, guess what? The FBI went down to the island and confiscated all the materials on the island. They took boatloads of stuff out of there. Somewhere along the line, Trump got a hold of that, or Trump's people, or somebody close to Trump got a hold of that. And now all these Republicans, these the Republicrats, and all these other douchebags that were stabbing Trump in the back from January 6th on, they're all toting the line. They're all doing what they're supposed to do. They're all supporting the American people, almost as if somebody had some leverage on them to do the right thing. So I propose to you that Trump not only has the doomsday tapes on these people, he's going to drop some of them on some of these people. Because what he's doing right now is classic military channelization. You take away the enemy's ability to shoot, move, and communicate, and you put them into a kill box. Who didn't Biden pardon? He didn't pardon Brennan. He didn't pardon Clapper. Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, Axelrod, Susan Rice, Victoria Nuland, the Vindmans, and he didn't pardon any senators or anybody on the January 6th team except for the only people he really pardoned was what's his name? The Keebler elf, the evil Keebler elf, Fauci. And, you know, there's others too. Mayorkas, Buttigieg, all these guys committed treason, all of them. But it's what I'm zeroing in on here is Biden left the Obama crowd swinging in the wind. And both Flynn and now Trump have alluded to the fact that these people have committed treason, along with the Clintons. He's thrown it out there. And if you watched the Jimmy Carter service, you will see that not only does Trump despise these people, but Melania despises them as well. Despises them. So I can tell you that when they start releasing information, and they will release information, you will see a lot of names on that list that you will be shocked to see. Some of you say, no, I won't be shocked. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And what I'm waiting for is I'm waiting for the disclosure around what the CIA has been doing. Because if he's true to word, which I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt right now, if he's true to word, then he is going to go through and he is going to declassify almost everything the CIA was working on. And look, let's make something very, very clear. There is a huge amount of inherent danger by releasing all these people from the agencies. Let's make no mistake. If you got the intelligence agencies, you got the FBI, you got NSA, you got DIA, et cetera, to get rid of all the wokeness and the political operatives, that means that we have supposedly no eyes and ears. So Tulsi Gabbard, Ratcliffe, Pete Hegseth, they all have a very tall order to fill, because backfilling people in DC is very hard, especially when you're looking at interest rates the way they are, the cost of living the way it is, the cost of living in DC, the commute time. There's a whole lot of variables there. And the question really boils down to, what are you going to replace the CIA staff with? Because there is a certain skill set you have to have for that whole agency, right? They're a spy agency. You can't get rid of human intelligence. Sorry. As long as human beings are on this planet, you're going to need human intelligence. We learned that the hard way in Somalia and in Iraq when we got there. Because we put a reliance on satellite imagery and on satellite information and ELINT and SIGINT, electronic information and signals information, And because we relied on signals intelligence and electronic intelligence and satellites, we didn't know shit about the culture. We knew what the ground picture looked like, but we didn't speak the language. We didn't understand the culture. We had no idea what the ground situation was. And we went on, you know, we went in there with a, you know, we can just kill whoever we need to kill. So what happened after Somalia? We brought back human intelligence. And you have to have operatives in every country. But the challenge here is putting things in place to keep the off the books and the malfeasance to a minimum. Because it's the off the books, black book stuff that the CIA was doing through USAID that was completely unaccountable to Congress. And basically, Congress looked the other way. That's what got us into trouble. So Ratcliffe has a very, very tough hill to climb by getting rid of everybody. But by the same token, you have to get rid of everybody. You can't keep anybody. Not one person in that organization can stay. Not one. And the same with DOD, the same with DIA, the same with NSA. If you were supporting the regime in any way, shape, or form, you were censoring Americans, you call them. And if any of, and this is how I would do it, Elon, go tell me how many of these people and all these organizations said domestic terrorist in the last 4 years. And there's your list of people to fire right away. The rest, given the politicians, et cetera, yeah. But Trump did a very smart thing in his first term. He set conditions and set the framework so he could fire government employees. Because prior to Trump coming in, there was a government union. And essentially, you could carry a gun to work and threaten people at gunpoint, and they couldn't fire you. I mean, legally, you would have some law enforcement actions, but you wouldn't lose your job. And now, Trump took back the initiative, and he has the ability to fire everybody. And then furloughing people and taking away their access, guess what? You take away all their ability to influence the internal politics of the organization. You got to wonder why Kennedy didn't do it back in the 60s. Because if he would have taken away all of the funding and cut all those government agencies, he would have been a rock star. But again, timing, conditions, etc. And I think the American people were blissfully unaware back then. I think I think there's a certain percentage of the population that's still blissfully unaware. But at the end of the day, the thing that we should be very, very thankful for is that he is doing this. And that he is using executive powers, and he's got the right people around him who really thought through how to do this. Because he's gutting the deep state, right? Gutting it. I mean, I never thought I would see the day where Fox News, Jesse Waters of all people, is saying, yeah, the CIA got their walkie papers today. When was the last time you thought you would hear? I never thought I would hear that. I thought the CIA would be there forever. We'll see what it looks like on the other side, but this is a damn good start. And, oh, there it is. There's our first shill tonight. Yeah, see you later, fuckstick, posting your bullshit Rumble video. Anyway, I never thought I would see it. And here's another thing that I think most people have glossed over. The pendulum culturally has swung radically to the right, to the point where people are openly going after all of the trans, the trans, the gay, they're going after all of it. And we're seeing comedians now start to come out of the woodwork and do real comedy again. It's because the 1% that were propped up above everybody else, they no longer have control of the mic. They no longer have control of social media. They no longer have control of the social narrative. And now people are coming out of the woodwork and they're starting to say things that they wouldn't have said 5 or 10 years ago. we're seeing the correction of political correctness all the way through this extreme liberal agenda. And where they're trying to hang on is in the liberal states. I hate to say it, folks, but that's going to die too. People are fed up with it. And I'm hoping that there's enough social momentum to where the country goes back to age of consent at 18. They go back to parental rights over their children. They go back to a woman's right to make choices. Like, I don't care about abortion. I know that's going to shock some of you. I don't care about it. And I'll tell you why I don't care about it. Because there's always a small percentage of the population that's going to do whatever. And let's face it, you pay for it on the other side anyway. So you make your own decisions, you repent for it at some point. Everything comes full circle. But the bottom line is, you know, nobody should be dictating somebody else's health. Nobody should be dictating and making decisions for somebody else's body, right? That's the bare bones in it, part of it. And I've seen cases of, you know, women that have gotten pregnant because of rape, seen that like 5 or 6 times, and they should have an outlet because that you're asking them to live with a baby that was conceived by somebody that took advantage of them. So I know it's going to piss people off, but the reality is I don't care. We need to get medicine back to what it should be, which is helping people. And the Hippocratic Oath, that's where it needs to go. And that's going to be one of those course corrections that's going to have to come along. And by moving Roe v. Wade back to the states, it just means that there's going to be states that allow abortion and states that don't. But as far as I'm concerned, that question's been solved. It's been answered. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's been answered. And my point of even bringing it up is that's not what we need to worry about right now. We need to worry about restoring healthcare to what it should be, which is healthcare needs to be first and foremost helping people and medically helping people with real, I don't want to say pharmaceuticals because that's not where we're at. Real medicine, things that really heal people. I've been through the cancer thing. I've seen so many different people die from cancer. So what I'm hoping for is that when RFK is confirmed, and he will be confirmed, that he goes through the FDA, he goes through NIH, he goes through all the agencies underneath Health and Human Services, and he guts that place. And I would hope somewhere in there, the American Medical Association is disbanded because they are the source of so many different problems in this country. Most of you don't know this, but why this is important is back in the 60s and early 70s, and maybe it was back in the 50s, there's a place down in Mexico, it's called the Hoxie Clinic. And they for forever and ever made this Hoxie tonic. It was basically a lifelong, you take it lifelong, you have to adhere to a certain diet, you have to drink certain fluids, you can't drink, you know, couldn't drink alcohol, you couldn't have things with chemicals, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm convinced the stuff prolonged my brother's life for at least 2 years, because by all intents and purposes, the way his cancer was growing, and long before COVID too, the way his cancer was growing, he should have been dead in 2019. But because of this oxytonic, he was able to prolong his life. Had I known about ivermectin and finbenzazole, I would have pumped him full of that and hopefully prolonged his life. But Hoxie was doing his tonic here in the U.S. for years, and it's all natural stuff. It's not like it's, you know, some concoction of chemicals. It was all natural. And the American Medical Association sued him in 50 states, so he had to respond to 50 different lawsuits. So rather than do that, he just rolled up his practice and moved down to Mexico. And for, you know, 50 years, They've been operating out of Tijuana. And you go into this place, Tijuana is a shithole, but you go into this place and it's like an oasis on a hilltop that looks over all of that, all of Tijuana and San Diego. And it's really an oasis. You walk in there and there's no reason for this place to be even remotely nice. But you walk inside and it's like a palace. The place is beautiful. And everybody I talked to, everybody, like there was a 12-year-old kid or a 14-year-old girl there, and she had been through 6 surgeries by the time she got to Hoxie because she had soft cell sarcoma like my brother did. And her parents were like, we're done. We're not doing any more surgeries. So they took her to Hoxie. And when I met her, my brother was in meeting with the doctor. And I'm like, what are you in for? She's like, well, I have fast moving cancer. I go, soft cell sarcoma? She goes, yeah. And I go, first time here? She goes, no, this is our fifth visit. I don't have any cancer. I'm cancer free now. So from the time this girl was 8 years old until she was 14, she was going through the whole cancer process, radiation, chemo, surgery, et cetera. And the way the process works is first they hit you with radiation and chemo. If that doesn't work, then they start to cut it out of you. And if that doesn't work, you're fucked. They tell you they can't help you. And that's usually right around the point where they've extracted $1 million from you and your insurance company. And this little girl has a chance of a normal life now because of Hoxie Clinic. And if we had alternative medicine like that available to everyone that was, again, has to be monitored by somebody, but not influenced by the pharmaceutical company or the Rockefellers, guess what? More people would probably still be alive. And I'm hoping that when we get to the end of this 4 years, this landscape in DC will look significantly different than it does right now. And every one of these people that have committed treason, especially in the intelligence agencies, are held to account. We're only, 11 days, 12 days into this, and Trump has already done phenomenal things to reverse the last 4 years. Some of it we'll never be able to fix. Let's face it. We'll never be able to fix the manufacturing loss here. We'll have to regrow it. We'll never be able to fix all the strategic stockpiles that have been sent to Ukraine. And that's the other thing I'm waiting for. I'm waiting to see what he does with Ukraine. He keeps talking about there's a deal in the works, which I believe there is, but it hasn't happened yet. And I'm just wondering who he's negotiating or who he's having to deal with in Europe and what deals he's having to broker in Europe. Because to me, the question about Europe is not a question at all. Trump should go completely around NATO. He should go completely around all the monarchs. He should go completely around all the bureaucrats. He should go completely around all the oligarchs and make a deal with Russia and say, okay, Zelensky, you surrender yourself to Russia and you go face Russian justice. And divide up Ukraine the way you're going to divide up and move on. I'm sure that's what's going to end up. Because look, Putin's not going to, he's not going to sue for peace unless he gets what he wants. And he's had some significant losses from what I understand, but he's not about to give it up so that NATO can encroach on his territory again. That dog's not going to hunt now. And look, if you look at Russia and the American people, there's a lot of similarities to where the American people are. Because the American people would rather deal with the hardship of currency issues, the hardship of rebuilding our manufacturing, than to spend one more day under that liberal tyranny that we were under for the last 4 years. And if Trump can pull it off and Trump's people can pull it off to where there's not a revolution or a civil war, and we don't go into a social scoring system, then hey, I'll give the guy the credit, all the credit he deserves. But until then, I'm going to keep a wary eye on what I'm watching. I'm going to be cynical about what I see, and I'm going to hammer him every time he does and says something stupid like he did last night with Gaza. I don't care what his motivations are. If you don't have a fully baked message for the American people that's going to resonate, don't say it. And don't bring that that war criminal over here one more time. Netanyahu needs to be in prison now. And look, I'm not charging Trump to go do that, but Netanyahu needs to be imprisoned. We've had enough of the Netanyahu regime. I've had enough of them. We fought a war for that guy. Well, probably two of them now. So it's time for him to go. And it's time for the entire region to figure out what to do with the West Bank and Gaza outside of the U.S. We don't need to put troops on the ground. We don't need to spend money there. If Jared Kushner wants to go over there and build a resort, go ahead. But if you think under any circumstance, I'm going to go vacation on the spot where people died, you know, thousands of people died, you're fooling yourself. You think I'm going to go live on soil where thousands of people were killed? No, never going to happen. And I think that that's going to ultimately, that place is going to be a ghost map, ghost town because of that. I mean, here, question to the audience. How many of you would go vacation in Gaza knowing what you know now? That's the question for you. Because I wouldn't do it. There's no way I'd spend money on that. You're celebrating the death of innocent people. Fuck that. Anyway. So we'll be back tomorrow night at 5:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern with the roundtable tomorrow night. We'll probably talk more about Gaza. We'll probably talk more about the CIA. We will definitively talk about the cartels and what's going on with the cartels, which that brings me to my last point here. The cartels. I'm not sure which way that's going to go. I think Trump is setting conditions so that he can take on the cartels head on without major bloodshed here. That's what I think he's trying to do. Take away their funding source, take away their supply routes, take away their infiltration routes, take away all of their key players and key leaders here in the U.S., and then roll up the leaders of Mexico, but force the Mexicans to do it. Look, here's the reality of this situation. At some point, we are going to have to move into Mexico and deal with the narco state. And at some point, we'll have to deal with the institutional money, e.g. the old families in Mexico, to set conditions so that the narco state goes away and Mexico is, let's just say, modernized, for lack of a better word. Because if you want Mexico to not be a narco state, there's only two ways to do it. Either you invade it or you flood the place with construction and infrastructure to build it up to where it's a modern society. But at some point, you have to deal with them. And getting rid of the cartels is not as easy as it sounds. You're talking about logistics on a wide scale where they have distributed operations and they operate asymmetrically for the most part, like terrorist cells. They have communication, but the communication is way different than what we're used to. We can collect on some of it. We can follow some of it. But they've been operating with impunity and the help of the intelligence agencies for the better part of 80 years. So that's not going to go away overnight. And there's a huge amount of logistics there just to take on the key players and the capos. And it's a game of whack-a-mole because you're taking a key leader out, replaced by another leader, replaced by another leader, replaced by another leader. You have to disincentivize not only the Mexican government from accepting narco money, but you have to disincentivize the entire network and take away their ability to sell drugs in the first place. But it's not just drugs that we're going after here. We're talking about human trafficking. That's an even harder proposition, especially when they've created all these ports of entry to traffic drugs, humans, and weapons. So not only does Trump have to go after the cartels, he's got to shut down all these entry points like Mesa Gateway. That's not going to happen overnight. There's a significant amount of logistics there It has to happen. And I'm sure he's thought through it. But right now, what he's doing is he's taking all the key leaders and all the hardened criminals off the streets so they can't be affected in any kind of a dirty war. And he's building a kill box by taking away the funding and taking away the supply routes and taking away the incentives for China to send stuff overseas. But remember, China still has regulars, PLA, on the ground in Canada and in Mexico and in throughout Central America. Those guys aren't just going to get on a plane and go home. So there is going to be some kind of kinetic. What it looks like and where it looks like and when, that's the broader question. I don't think Trump could pull it off. I don't think the administration can pull it off while they're trying to rebuild some of these organizations without some kind of kinetic. But that is the number one threat to American cities right now, is the cartels going after infrastructure, first responders, and creating chaos in the streets. We've already talked about the nauseam. Bracken talked about it on the last roundtable. And if you're wondering what he says, go back and listen to it. But that's still sitting out there. So don't let your guard down, is what I'm saying. Stay vigilant. Stay hyper-vigilant and situationally aware at all times. And I don't know about you, but I'm still carrying heavy. I'm not going to fuck around with that. I'm going to be carrying heavy until such a time where I know that our borders are secure and there's not an imminent threat. And that's not me being paranoid. That's me reading the situation for what it is. You want to call me paranoid, go ahead, but I'm not going to be the one that's caught without a firearm when shit goes sideways. And you shouldn't be either. But I'm hoping for the best, and I'm hoping that the medical system is reformed. And by the way, I was answering questions about the whole debate around what medical issues should be worried about right now. I'm telling you, the one that we need to worry about is helping people that got the vaccines. That's the first and foremost. Let's see, other notes here. T-shirts. People keep asking me about T-shirts, sweatshirts. You can get all that stuff through Spreadshirt. It's in the notes. If you like what I'm doing, hit the follow button. That helps get the message out. And don't be bashful. I'm wearing one of those shirts right now. I'd show you, but I can't get my goddamn camera to work. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow night. Stay alert, people. God bless. One team, one fight.